Welcome to Educator Forever, where we empower teachers to innovate education. Join us each week to hear stories of teachers expanding their impact beyond the classroom and explore ways to reimagine teaching and learning. Anthony Weinkopf acts as the director and co-founder of Embrace Tutoring and Educational Services. Since an early age, he has always been drawn to empowering youth and helping them to create opportunities. Growing up, he was the first male in his immediate family to go to college, and he remembers how overwhelming the process could be without clear guidance. Throughout his educational career, Anthony has worked as a college liaison, biochemistry and mathematics teacher, and high school academic dean. Along with his two co-founders, Andy Lee and Suzanne Park, Anthony has grown Embrace Tutoring to what it is today. Embrace specializes in creating customized college and career readiness plans for students and connects them with experienced tutors in core academic subjects and test prep areas. Many families utilize Embrace's services to save time, enhance their chances of acceptance, or receive academic scholarships. Welcome, Anthony. So glad to have you here with us.
Thanks for having me, Lily. I appreciate it. Good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I always start with the same gigantic question, which you can take in any direction that you want, which is to tell us about your journey as an educator.
Yeah, I'd love to. My journey is a little interesting because I was initially in biomedical sciences and engineering. And I started teaching while I was at undergraduate for college. And one thing led to another. I wanted to kind of explore whether or not I was going to medical school or business school or graduate school out of college. So I then took a teaching job with the intention to kind of find my feet a little bit and then somewhere located adjacent to certain kind of graduate programs. Love that. It really fell in love with it, as well as working with the students, and started teaching at that initial school. Then I decided, you know what, I do love teaching. I'm going to continue to explore this. So I then decided to take a job at another teaching independent school in Northern New Jersey, where at the time they were, I believe they were nationally ranked, right? It was one of the nationally ranked independent schools. And my entire intention was to teach at that school, serve as an academic dean, amongst a number of other things, while simultaneously then going and getting my graduate degree. And things got sidetracked a little bit when I happened to win an award by Kearney Sando and Associates. I was teacher of the week, I believe. And that brought a lot of publicity, a lot of notoriety. Certain parents and families started reaching out to me to have me actually instruct their students for, you know, subs XYZ. And me growing up in kind of the public school system, I was not aware of the private tutoring. Like, I've never had private tutors, was never really exposed to them. And I fortunately grew up in a really good, like, hardworking family. And my sister has kind of always instilled in me like an appreciation for education. But with respect to private tutoring, kind of one thing led to another. Started tutoring, took on a number of clients outside of the classroom. So I had my full-time teaching job, and then one thing, you know, happened, and here I was kind of a young 20-something going outside of the classroom teaching on the weekends as well as after school. And flash forward to today, we now own and operate Embrace Tutoring. So there's a lot in between there, and I can certainly get more detailed, but in general, it's been a beautiful ride.
Yeah, that's great. And I love how it just kind of naturally happened. I mean, I know that looking back on anything, we can say like, oh, it just happened. But as you said, it was a lot of work. But I think it's interesting thinking about, like, you won an award, you had this kind of plan for yourself, right? Of like, this is the path I see myself going on. And then sometimes things happen where other paths become clear in front of us. So I'm curious a little bit about both the managing, being a classroom teacher, and taking on tutoring students, like how that went, and maybe where the turning point was for you to think, oh, I could do this entirely.
Oh, that's a great question. So so while I was working with students in Northern New Jersey, and more precisely, I'll just say like Basking Ridge, New Jersey. I was working with Basking Ridge students, Morristown, Short Hills, Summit, New Jersey, a number of students like throughout that area. I started to kind of collect data of what was working, how would one family sort of measuring student progress, how to reach the students the best, how to get them to, you know, make sure that they're not only improving in their grades and their understanding, but also their confidence. And then I developed a lot of systems in terms of like parent communication and progress reports I would send to the parents. And this was all in addition to me just meeting with the students on a regular basis for private tutoring. I fell in love with Google Calendar because I was teaching, you know, full time from like 8 a.m. to I think it was like 2:30 or 3 p.m. And then right when 3:30 or 4 hit, it was just sort of my private tutoring workload where I would go and meet with multiple students at the end of the day. And it was kind of like having, in some ways, like a job and a half. Mm-hmm. And the part where I felt like it can really honestly turn into a business, which I think is kind of more of what you're getting at, was I realized how inexperienced I was when it came to the business side. And I started collaborating with one of my good friends who is actually one of my directors and business partners now, Andy Lee. And he said, you know, I think, you know the product, you know the service. You have already kind of a fleet of private tutoring students and families that you work with. Do you want help scaling this? And we had some long conversations. And if anyone is out there listening and maybe wants to take on a business partner, you got to find someone who's just as driven and has a lot of integrity as you do, because it's kind of a marriage, right? And we were good friends before that. And then we ended up actually meeting and finding our other business partner, Suzanne Park. And it has worked tremendously over the years. And Suzanne was, believe it or not, a parent of one of the students that I was actually teaching in the classroom. And she reached out to me because my tutoring techniques and different areas of, you know, what her daughter was enjoying in the class. And we started to collaborate a little bit. And Suzanne, Andy, and I have basically grown Embrace into what it is today, more or less. But I will say that that first year of juggling both was a lot. I definitely fell in love with a lot of the email and the systems and parent communication and templates and things like that, just to kind of help mainstream a lot of the overall kind of inner workings of everything.
Yes, definitely. I relate to that. When I first started doing curriculum design, I was a classroom teacher too, and I had a couple years of the overlap, but where it was like simultaneously exhausting and also really exciting to be able to see kind of this different pathway emerge and be working on something new and be challenged in different ways. So I think that it's both, you know, like it's both exhausting and like part of the learning process.
Yeah. And I think for me, I'd been in education for quite some time, and I had a little bit of, I would say, business experience, because before going into my final teaching job, and one of the forks in the road was I was working out at Stanford University, and I was attending different business lectures and then different science lectures, because initially when I was doing biomedical engineering, so I had a little bit of business acumen, but majoring in business is very different than actually like running a company. So yes, when I kind of joined forces with Suzanne and Andy, that really helped to clarify a lot of the back end business logistics. And I think I can say that from like what you're mentioning in terms of curriculum design, we were fortunate enough to kind of have that down, right? We were fortunate enough for curriculum design and how to find tutors and just in general, how to build things. But we needed to really figure out, you know, what's a good CRM system? What is SEO? What is our website management system and cloud hosting services? Which taxes will we need to complete depending on where we do services in various states? You know, what is business insurance and how do we technically qualify for it? And what happens if we, you know, work with various school districts and do we need to kind of upgrade our business insurance? So there were a lot of little things that I wasn't really aware of in the beginning, but over time and with the right people, we've really kind of educated ourselves to become, you know, more kind of grounded in those areas.
Absolutely. And I love that too. You know, you're reflecting on taking on the business partners too, that you didn't have to learn it all on your own, you know, that you could really partner with people who had different areas of expertise and lean into your expertise and have some true collaboration there.
Yeah, there's been a lot of collaboration over the years. And at the same time, too, we love to really listen to our audience. We love to listen to our students. We love to listen to our tutors in terms of, you know, what works. We were, I would say the first 2 years as we were building Embrace, everything from, hey, where do we get a facility to which, what is our market, you know, niche, or what are we really going to tend to focus on? How will we continuously find and hire tutors to keep up with demand? A lot of things for us, it definitely did not happen overnight, but we were fortunate where we had one summer class that we ran specifically for test prep, because initially we were just focusing on having private tutors go out to homes or meet in like local libraries or cafes. That then drew the demand for us to have a class over the summer, our first ever summer class that we hosted for either, let's say, SAT or ACT students, because that's kind of the most well-known at the high school level. We had probably 6 or 7 students all get a perfect score or near perfect scores, which then that then bubbled into our model that we have today, which is focusing a lot on overall college and career planning. And we essentially kind of create these customized packages for students when they're coming into our system for, hey, which schools may you want to apply to if you want to do engineering with music, right? And if those are your interests, how can we expose you to different career pathways that might interest you? And then what boxes do you need to essentially check along the way? And that's really what we do. That's what we tend to focus on now. And then we match those students and families with interested, with experienced private tutors as well as educational mentors.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me. I mean, that seems like such a great service. And I'm also fascinated just by the like evolution of the service packages. I think that's something that I found too, that when you start a business, you know, you have an idea of what you're going to offer. And then as you go along and interact with actual people and like get to see their needs and get to respond to those needs, new things emerge that you can offer. So I love that that kind of different model was created by really being responsive to who you are serving.
Yeah, that's, and I love the use, since I was like the biology teacher in me loves the use of the word evolution. So I'll give you mm-hmm. kudos there, but that's basically exactly what it was. We kind of were fortunate enough to really stay true in what we were doing in the beginning. And because we were just really kind of focusing on what's in the best interest of the students, they did well. And then just as a byproduct, we then needed to expand our services to, you know, different disciplines, different college essays. Some of our students then went on to graduate school. So we then needed to hire GRE teachers, right? Yeah. They then have younger brothers and sisters. So now we have elementary private tutors. So it's really just kind of expanded due to the need, which has always been great. We haven't really jumped into anything if it wasn't, you know, if people weren't asking for it, more or less. So we've always kind of had the carrot in front of the horse of like, hey, do you guys offer this? And we've basically have, you know, formed it and collaborated a lot along the way. And we've been, you know, we've been really blessed.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like really that listening, right? Of like really listening to when people say, hey, do you offer this? Or this would be great. And collecting that data of like having a trigger point of, you know, 10 people asked for this thing. Maybe we should look into building it. Yeah. And like also that flexibility that I think can be hard, I found, to let go of as a business owner sometimes, of being like, well, I thought I was going to offer it this way, but people are telling me that they really wanted this other way. And so being flexible along with that, of like both holding your vision of like what you can do well, but also what people want.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And I think that, and for anyone listening to this, and if they're thinking of literally pivoting outside of the classroom or just sort of what other endeavors could they use their educational degree for, right? Because I think for me, I've always had a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit at heart, but being in education and serving as a class dean, I was like, what can I use all these skills for? You know, what, at the end of the day, what can I do with this? And so I was thinking to myself, okay, well, if we're creating a private tutoring company, then the ultimate goal of just kind of being family or student obsessed was what is in the best interest of the student. And as long as we've continued to answer that question and be a little innovative, I guess you could say, of like, hey, okay, what are they going to ask for in the future? How can we kind of figure that out in advance? And how can we figure out where the puck is going and not where it is? even now with the, like the adaption of AI in college essays or test optional versus non-test optional, or, you know, just in terms of the college and career landscape, we've always tried to be a little bit ahead. So that way, if people do come back and they do ask for a certain service, we are aware of, you know, we don't like to just say no. We like to do a little bit of research first. Like right now, for instance, we're getting a ton of questions of, can you do robotics camps? And we want to be more familiar with that area before we can just say yes or no, right? We want to have a good idea of if indeed that is a service we intend to launch, you know, how can we best execute it for our students and families?
Absolutely. And it's like that balance, you know, people can say all sorts of things, right? Be like, oh, can you offer a gymnastics class? Like, no, I can't, right?
Yeah.
And so I think having that balance of like, what is a good use of both the business and the skills, you know, of the people behind the business, and that overlap is really interesting. And so I'm wondering with that too, like, can you give us a state of Embrace Tutoring right now? Like, what is kind of, what are you offering right now? Where are you offering it? What's your focus?
So we offer private tutoring, and I would say in combination with academic plans across the country. We do have a few students, I would say, internationally, but that's not our target focus or the majority of our audience. We are preparing. We just recently launched our third full-time kind of brick and mortar location up in Morristown, New Jersey. No place like home. And we are preparing to launch our fourth facility by the end of 2024. We've had a lot of milestones along the way. We actually just recently presented last week at the Princeton Pitch Stop event.
So we were
one of three featured companies to go up on stage, kind of present in front of a panel of venture capitalists and judges, as well as angel investors. And we were invited to do so. So it was kind of a nice sort of, hey, look what we've built moment, and kind of a little moment of reflection, which has been great. But overall, we still tend to specialize in private tutoring, customized academic roadmaps for students across the country. A few things that really make us unique are the quality of the educators that we have. Everyone that we hire and train and vet have over 1,000 hours or more of actual like teaching or private tutoring experience. Many of them have their master's or their PhD degrees. We also have a full kind of back-end parent portal system that we've built to encourage parent communication. A lot of parents love that if they're using it for like record keeping, if your son or daughter has learning accommodations and you need records to give to the local school psychologist or behavioral therapist, which we will gladly collaborate with. We do review sessions online as bonus things to our students. We also do diagnostics in person and online. So that way a student in Tennessee or Alaska can actually come and take a proctored practice test in a variety of different subjects. So yeah, those are just a few major things, but no doubt private tutoring has kind of been our core focus throughout the years.
Yeah, that's great. And then you have a mix of like brick and mortar and online services?
Yes. Yeah. It's kind of, I don't know if I really ever want to use this analogy, but it's kind of like a Soul Cycle or a Warby Parker, where we have very kind of bespoke locations, centers in various places across the country. And if people are not able to come into one of our facilities for private tutoring, then they are able to utilize virtual private tutoring, right, throughout the country, which we have probably, I would say it's about 70-30 or maybe closer to 65-35 at this point in terms of virtual versus in-person. But we do have a lot of people that will come for in-person private tutoring, and then they'll say, oh, my son or daughter's taking AP Bio as well. Do you have anyone? And we'll say, boy, do we. We have someone in Rhode Island who actually is an AP Bio grader, like an official test grader. That individual will fly out and be part of the grading process, right, for College Board. And they say, yes, please connect this. So it's definitely a combination of doing virtual as well as in person.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. I mean, because there's benefits of both, right? And so I think being able to provide both, that really opens up a lot more.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
So I'm curious a little bit just about your own journey, you know, going from getting your first tutoring students to where your business is now, what you've learned about yourself along the way.
Let's see. I feel like if my wife could answer this question, she would say I work too much, but or my family. I would say So growing up, my friends and I have always been a little entrepreneurial at heart. We would make like little businesses and kind of do different things. I also was the type of kid where I would keep all of my notes like nonstop as I was going through school in different binders. And I would always carry around a book on me. So it's not surprising that I started some sort of educational company involved in business, right? In terms of like my own journey. But I would say the biggest thing I've probably learned about myself, other than kind of after a little self-reflection of like, of course, you know, this was kind of the where everything was supposed to lead, is that learning to listen a lot more than and being much more empathetic in terms of our target audience and, you know, what is going to work best. Because everyone in terms of business is going to go into it thinking they have a product or they have a design of or service, right? This is obviously an educational podcast, and teachers or tutors are going to go into this. Well, how can I best deliver my curriculum and find students locally? And for me, and maybe it was just because I was like also a little bit of an engineer at heart of, well, how can I make this better, right? How can I reach more people? How can I take this and expand the service to reach an audience who needs it, right? Or like reach a broader audience. And I think that over the years, as we've empathize what's going to work best for the families and for the students, and then adjusted our model accordingly to kind of think a little bit broader of what they need, even if it adds to the expenses, right? Yeah. If we know it's going to be better for them, get better books, get better tutors, get better places, get better systems in general. If we can improve that overall experience, and by listening to them, I think that's kind of really been a core of our business.
Absolutely. I love that. I mean, I always use design thinking when thinking about building a business, and it always starts with empathy of just like really kind of getting out of your own head and thinking about the people that you hope to serve and really responding to those needs. And I think in some ways it's really similar to teaching, you know, really listening to individual students. It's the same skill of like, what do they actually need and how do I respond to it? So I love that reminder of always.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I would say that I was fortunate enough to be in engineering with sort of some aspect of teaching. Mm-hmm. I would say anyone who's just jumping from teaching and if they've never done that kind of understanding by design thought process, there's a lot of really good business books out there. Which teacher doesn't love a good book, right? I feel like there's a few really good books that I read in the beginning. The Lean Startup was really good in terms of like products and service and testing kind of your audience and your market audience, how to win friends and influence people for social interactions and just sales. I feel like that should basically be the sales Bible almost and empathy is an entire chapter inside of that book. So I feel like there are resources out there for teachers who are considering maybe I do want to explore the option of, you know, transitioning from the classroom and tutoring full time, right? There are resources that are available.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't have to figure it all out on your own.
No.
I think it's something that we often feel like, okay, as teachers, we're often left to figure a lot out on our own, but there are so many, just like with education, like great thinkers and research and all sorts of people doing work in business. So you can learn from that. And along with that, I guess any other advice you'd give educators who are thinking about maybe they want to move beyond the classroom or they have a business idea that's kind of been itching at them?
Oh, that's a good question. So the first I would say is that if they want to move beyond the classroom, first give us a call because we're getting ready to hire regional directors around the country. So they don't have to go through all of the headache of the finances and which CRM system do I use? How do I build a website? We take care of all that for you. And we're just looking for talented professionals who are an educator at heart, who may not want to open a franchise because we're not doing franchising, but might actually potentially want to kind of lead our region of Embrace Tutoring in a specified area. Love to connect with them if that's the case. If they want to go at it alone, I wish them the best. And again, definitely recommend them checking out a few of the business books and form a good network of individuals to help support them along the way. And then what was the follow-up question?
Oh, really? Just that? Just, you know, advice for educators who, I guess, if they have a business idea, you know, or something that they're thinking about doing. Any other advice? I love the reading the book, but anything that they could do to get started.
So the reason why I jumped into doing a business in general, and this is the one, I don't know if this works for everyone, but I can speak for me personally, that I could not stop thinking about the business idea. I would spend little notes. I would even write, hey, this is what I think I want my color scheme to be in my facility 3 years from now. I could not stop thinking about it. And if you think that the business idea, for whatever it is or whoever it is, if you think the business idea is going to bring value to an audience out there, whether or not you are the one who executes the business idea, I would suggest for individuals to see it through. If you feel as though the world is going to be a better place with your business idea, regardless if you're the one that does it, I would say, you know, take a chance on yourself, chase a little bit of purpose, and see what happens. And then with respect to actually kind of executing it, I would definitely suggest that you have a little nest egg first, because the first couple of years are not going to be as, you know, the money is not just immediately going to come pouring in. You're going to have to do a lot of learning. It is literally going to be a grind and a lot of pivoting and sort of circles along the way. So you're going to want to make sure that to try to split your time, get your feet wet in that area, whether it's tutoring, whether it's maybe you want to work for an ed tech company, right? Maybe it's something, maybe you want to develop an online learning platform like Coursera or Udemy, whatever it is. Go and get experience within that field while you are still having that safety net of your actual income. So that way you're not spreading yourself financially too thin. Learn. And then when you're ready and you still can't shake that idea, then go and take a chance on yourself and come back to us if you got any more questions.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think that if you're a classroom teacher and can try things out on the side, you know, just like Anthony's saying, of having that safety net, or if you're like, I have to leave the classroom, you know, my first few years, I was building my business, but I was also taking on big contracts with ed tech mm-hmm. companies and nonprofits and school districts. And that provided the financial stability that funded my business as well as like funded my life, right? And yes. So I think there's no shame in that too. It's not like very rarely, unless you have, you know, investors and things like that, like, are you going to be able to completely transition from one job to being fully financially dependent on your business right away?
Absolutely.
And so thinking about the in-between.
One blessing in disguise, I will say, is that being a teacher, I didn't realize this until I was there, but independent school would end probably at the end of May, and I would have until all May, June, July, August to kind of tinker, experiment, explore, hey, is this what I really want to do? I would go and work at various programs across the country during the summer, which is actually part of the reason I worked at Stanford for a little bit. I've worked at UVA. I've worked at other places to not just kind of figure out my own individual career path, but kind of expose me to different skills. Mm-hmm. Teachers kind of have that luxury, whereas most professions do not. So if someone in education is thinking about exploring or utilizing their skills in a different type of business route, they're kind of really set up, especially over the summer, to kind of take a fellowship, maybe study abroad, figure out if they want to, you know, dabble a little bit more in that type of industry. It's kind of the perfect profession to be able to do that.
Yes. It's like seeing it as an opportunity. And mm-hmm. I think that's really can be inspiring too, because as teachers, you know, we have so much to do all the time and feel burned out and all the things. And it can be really easy to get into that space of being like, I just don't have time. Like someday. So thinking about the opportunities that already exist, like the summertime, or if you're trying to create something for students, you're around students.
Yes, you know? Yes.
Being able to think about what you have right now that can help propel you to where you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And just regardless of whatever business someone's going to go into, you really do have to have a growth mindset. You almost kind of have to, I say this to business schools when I go and present, and people ask me all the time, you know, what's it like to start a business? Or what were you thinking when you were 24, 25 and decided to leave your full-time teaching job and do this? And I said, you know what, you're going to jump out of a plane and you're going to have to build the parachute on the way down, but you have to trust yourself that you are going to have the capability and surround yourself with the right people to put it all together. And I think as long as you have that growth mindset, you're in the right mindset to kind of move forward and keep kind of breaking barriers and pushing down walls.
Absolutely. Yes. I love that. I mean, I think that one thing I've learned too is like the struggles are necessary. Like it really is how you learn of like when something doesn't work the way that you expected it to, mm-hmm. or by doing a really awkward webinar or like whatever. Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's how I learned to do a better webinar the next time or whatever it might be. And so I think often, you know, like, yeah, nobody really wants to go through those times of struggle or not knowing or like not getting something right. We all wish we could fast forward to just like, it's working. But I think we have to go through that. Like that really is how we learn.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there's going to be so much more appreciation at the end of the day. I think even last week when my partners and I were presenting, and here we kind of take it for granted now. Every day life is great. And we have, you know, we're looking at a fourth facility location. We have hundreds of tutors across the country. We're looking for regional directors. Here we are in my downtime doing this with you, right? This is like an exciting part of the day. And I think that sometimes a lot of people, when you don't sort of stop and just reflect and be like, oh, wow, look at what everything, you know, look how far we've come in some ways. The struggle can be, you really kind of have to learn to be appreciative of the struggles as you're going through it and think that everything is, or I should say this, there's a really good basketball quote where nothing is wasted. Everything you do has purpose. And I love, I think it's Greg Popovich who says it for the Spurs coach, nothing is wasted, right? Even if you lose a game, you learn a little bit, nothing is wasted. And so a lot of the struggles that we faced early on, nothing was wasted. We've learned, we've adapted, we've pivoted, we've surrounded ourselves with really good people, but nothing was wasted, right? We're here for a reason. And you know, we're very appreciative of the opportunity.
Yeah. And that's really like what you can control, right? Like what you do with the information, what you do with the experience, which I think can give that sense of agency. Like if you're deciding nothing is wasted, amazing. You're going to really dig into it, right? Mm-hmm. And really examine what you can learn going forward. I love that. Yeah. My family is basketball obsessed too, so I'll be sure to use that quote with my kids.
Yeah, well, whenever you want to talk about basketball quotes, I will come back on for podcast.
Why not? Hopefully, my 12-year-old might be able to host her own podcast with you about that.
I love that.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Anthony. It's so great to hear about your journey, and I would love to have you share where people can connect with you.
Yeah, of course. So I would say the best way to get in touch with, if you'd like to contact Embrace Tutoring, the best way is to visit the website for www.embracetutoring.com or info@embracetutoring.com. It will take you right to the company email. If you'd like to touch base with me personally and grab coffee, I'm always looking to expand the network and speak with talented talented individuals who share a vision. I would say LinkedIn is probably going to be the best for Anthony Weinkauf, and you're welcome to, I will gladly provide the LinkedIn URL so you guys can click that and then we can connect. Happy to do so.
Awesome. We'll put all of those down below in the show notes. And thanks again, Anthony. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you again, Lily. I really appreciate coming on. Thank you.
Ready to find rewarding, impactful work in the education world? Take our free quiz to discover your next right career step. Will you be a curriculum developer, an education consultant, instructional coach? The list of possibilities goes on and on. Take the quiz to find out the best fit for you at educatorforever.com/quiz. You'll also receive customized resources to kickstart your dream career and life.